The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Great to be with you. Lots and lots of material to get to today. Remember, if you don't know already, our live stream can be viewed at the trumpet.com website, thetrumpet.com/live. So you can spread the word. We're still not broadcasting on YouTube. The YouTube channel, but hopefully we'll be back over there soon. On today's show, I just want to talk, and this will be more in the second segment, but I want to really focus on the initial actions of the fake Biden presidency. I think it's really revealing when you look at all of the executive orders, when you look at the impeachment sham, as I talked about yesterday, and then this House Bill for the People Act, that's what they've called it, for the People Act of 2021. And this is really where they want to enshrine all of these voter irregularities. They want to make sure that they establish it in law now so that they can rig every single election from here on out. So on the one hand, they're trying to pass through this legislation to make sure that they can keep cheating. And then on the other hand, and you see this in the sham impeachment, on the other hand, they're demanding that their enemies, their political enemies, admit that they did everything perfectly, that there was no fraud whatsoever. And so that's what they want to press Donald Trump and his team on as they gear up for the sham impeachment. Yet another round. Now, you've got to admit that you triggered this insurrection, as we're calling it now. You triggered it by telling your supporters that there was widespread voter fraud. You can't even bring it up. And then all of their minions in big tech and big media, they're actively working to censor anyone that would even suggest or hint that the election was stolen. You can't talk about it. You can't bring it up. I want to begin this first segment by just reminding you of something my father brings out in that article that we spent so much time and effort to publicize through December and January. The one about Donald Trump remaining America's president. He's not back in the White House yet. But that'll happen soon enough. But the point that my father makes in that piece is that fraud and corruption is going to be exposed. It's going to be exposed. He said, I'm also certain that we're about to see some of the biggest frauds exposed perhaps ever. And then he made this statement. This means this nation is about to be shocked. I believe you're going to see frauds exposed like you've never even imagined. And that continues. That continues. And when you look, as I say, you look at the first 6-7 days of this fake presidency and the radical left, they are fully exposed now. I mean, they've pulled off the masks. They have dropped the gloves. January 6th was their Pearl Harbor moment. January 6th in their minds was 9/11. And so that's all the excuse that they need to trash the Constitution and to fundamentally transform the United States of America. They've got to do it because this is a nation of white supremacists. And we've got to target Trump supporters. And we've got to target Trump, even if he's out of office, even if he's a private citizen. They've exposed themselves in so many ways. Their agenda. Look at what they're doing. Look at all these executive actions. 37 executive orders in 1 week. Not even a week. in 6 days. That's all that we know of. There could be more. There could be more because some of it hasn't been publicized, like, well, the four yesterday on racial equity or equality. We'll come to that here in just a second. But this is from the New York Post. 37 executive actions in the first week in office, and the exact number of executive orders is not known because the Federal Register has not been updated since January 21st. That was the day after, and of course you know about the first day right after the fake inauguration. You had 17 executive orders, 17 of them. All totaled now, it's at least 37. Yesterday Joe Biden signed 4 that were all focused on racial equity. Now, listen to what Joe Biden, the candidate Joe Biden, listen to what he said about executive orders back in October. This is just a month before the election. This is clip 12.
I have this strange notion. We are a democracy. Some of my Republican friends and some of my Democratic friends even occasionally say, well, if you can't get the votes by executive order, you're going to do something. Things you can't do by executive order unless you're a dictator. We're a democracy. We need consensus.
You can't do it by executive order unless you're a dictator. We're a democracy, he said. We need consensus. We need both sides. We need bipartisanship. We need unity. And in the first week, in his first week as fake president, 37 executive orders. By comparison, Barack Obama had 5 in his first week. Donald J. Trump had 4 in his first week. Bill Clinton had 1 in his first week. And George W. Bush had 0. Joe Biden, 37 that we know of. At least 37. You can't govern by executive order unless you're a dictator, he said in October. And here we see yet again, what they accuse their enemies of. They're guilty of themselves. They are guilty. How many times in the last 4 years did we hear that Donald Trump was a dictator, a tyrant, an authoritarian? How many times did we hear that he was going to stay in the White House and use the military to stay there, even if he lost the election? Everything that they accuse him of, they're guilty of. They are guilty of. This is from Fox News last week. Former President Barack Obama praised Biden on Thursday for enacting a sweeping slate of executive orders within hours of his inauguration. And it quotes Obama here. It says, this is the time for boldness, and President Biden is already delivering. And this is only the beginning, said Obama. The puppet master is thrilled. He's got his right-hand woman right there in the White House, Susan Rice. She of Benghazi fame. Remember, she blamed Benghazi on a YouTube video that was critical of Islam. So that's why the Benghazi tragedy happened. Now, January 6th, that was an insurrection. That was a four-hour attempted coup. That was a four-hour attempt to overthrow the government, and it was spearheaded. It was incited by Donald Trump. That's what we're told. Benghazi, that was incited by someone who didn't like Muslims. It was a YouTube video. It had nothing to do with the Obama policies of appeasement. It had nothing to do with the fact that they went in there and they got rid of Gaddafi, and then they started empowering all of these terrorist groups. It had nothing to do with any of that. They weren't responsible. YouTube was responsible for that. And we lost an ambassador, as well as three other Americans that went down fighting because they got no help, no support from Susan Rice, no support from Barack Obama, no support from Hillary Clinton. What difference does it make how it went down? What difference does it make if we told the families, those families that lost loved ones? Yes, this was because of racism. This was because of a YouTube video that was critical of radical Islam. That was just a few years ago. Now Susan Rice, she's been installed in the White House, and, you know, to this point, or maybe for however long this goes on, it's a bitter affliction for sure. But Kamala Harris, as I heard one commentator say yesterday, she's going to be fairly well preoccupied with her responsibilities to preside over the Senate because she's the tie-breaking vote. But you've got Susan Rice in the White House, and she's heading up, I guess, domestic policy? She gave a speech yesterday. Joe Biden gave a speech yesterday. Just to remind all of America how racist this country is. It's systemic. It's been there from the beginning. Joe Biden, the fake president, here he is talking about how unfair and unjust America has been from the beginning. Clip one.
We've never fully lived up to the founding principles of this nation, to state the obvious, that all people are created equal and have a right to be treated equally throughout their lives. For too long, we've allowed a narrow, cramped view of the promise of this nation to fester. You know, we've bought the view that America is a zero-sum game in many cases. If you succeed, I fail. If you get ahead, I fall behind. If you get the job, I lose mine. Maybe worst of all, if I hold you down, I lift myself up.
If I hold you down, I lift myself up. So the minorities, and he went right through the long list of them. Everyone that's got a grievance. Every group that's been held down. You know, there were only 2,200 people that watched the live stream. I saw that headline somewhere. 2,000 people for the man that supposedly got 81 million votes. The most popular president in history. And when he steps in front of the podium, nobody watches. And yet, what he says, what he's doing, it's ripping apart the country. It's as we've said so much over the years. We've said it so many times, Isaiah 1 and other prophecies. The coming race wars. And here comes Joe Biden and Susan Rice and Barack Obama behind the scenes, stirring up hatred. Stirring up hatred between the races. Here is the government now. It's a fake one, but here is the government of the United States basically saying, you know what, from this point forward, we're going to favor one group of people over another. It's fundamentally un-American. But that's what the speeches amounted to yesterday. We're going to promote this group of people or this group of people above this other group. Here's a collection of some of his statements yesterday, clip two.
At the moment it arrived as a nation where we face deep racial inequities in America and systemic racism that has plagued our nation for far, far too long. And yes, forced us to confront systemic racism and white supremacy. It's just been weeks since all of America witnessed a group of thugs, insurrectionists, a political extremist and white supremacist violently attack the capital of our democracy. But to do this, I believe this nation and this government need to change their whole approach to the issue of racial equity. And that means we need to make the issue of racial equity not just an issue for any one department of government. It has to be the business of the whole of government, because I believe we're in a battle for the soul of this nation. And the simple truth is, our soul will be troubled as long as systemic racism is allowed to persist. We can't eliminate it. It's not going to be overnight. We can't eliminate everything, but it's corrosive, it's destructive, and it's costly. It cost every American, not just who felt the sting of racial injustice. We aren't just less of a, we are not just a nation of morally deprived because of systemic racism. We're also less prosperous. We're less successful. We're less secure.
That's astounding, really. You're just kind of staggered by some of those statements. A morally deprived nation. What a contrast. You have one leader, the legitimate leader. Look, let's make America great again. Let's talk about 1776. Let's commission a team of scholars to give an accurate record of our history. Warts and all, yes. But look at the positives. Look at the freedoms, the liberties that we've enjoyed. And here's the fake president saying we're morally deprived because of systemic racism. Because of this, we're not prosperous, we're not successful, we're not secure. And January 6th, that's embedded in those statements I just played for you. That was 9/11. That was the attack coming from white supremacists, spearheaded by Donald Trump. And that's why he's got to be impeached. That's why he's got to be convicted. That's why we've got to get rid of him forever. That 1776 report, you'll remember it came out, what was it, the day or 2 days before the inauguration? And that was one of Joe Biden's first acts as fake president. He got rid of that, and he commented on that yesterday as well. Clip three.
I'm rescinding the previous administration's harmful ban on diversity and sensitivity training and abolish the offensive counterfactual 1776 commission. Unity and healing must begin with understanding and truth, not ignorance and lies.
Unity and healing, as he signs off on the fake impeachment, the impeachment sham, as he targets Trump supporters. Unity and healing. We've got to get rid of this offensive 1776 commission. A 41-page report. And, of course, if he would read it, he'd see that it's a perfect document. It's something to celebrate. It's something that brings balance to, or it would bring balance to the educational system. But he comes in, he's got to get rid of it because it's offensive. And so here is his domestic policy advisor, Susan Rice. She's an Obama clone. She covered up the truth about Benghazi. She's the one that targeted General Flynn. She was there in all those, the ambush against President Trump. Incoming President-elect Trump. She was there January 5th. She was there. I think she was the one that sent the email to herself on January 20th, 2017. Everything was done by the book. Oh, Barack Obama, he just did everything by the book. Even as they were trying to destroy General Flynn and destroy, derail the Trump presidency before it even got started. She's there in the White House now, the domestic policy advisor, Susan Rice. She has no experience in that, by the way. Her claim to fame, she would say, is foreign policy. But she's Obama's right-hand woman. And now she's there. She's drawing up policy. And as you heard from Joe Biden, this can't just be one department. This racial equity, it has to be the business for the whole of government. This is our focus. The whole of government. Here's Susan Rice yesterday, the new domestic policy advisor, clip four.
So building a more equitable economy is essential if Americans are going to compete and thrive in the 21st century. On day one, the president signed an executive order directing an unprecedented whole of government initiative to embed racial equity across federal policies, programs, and institutions. That starts with a review of policies and institutions to redress systemic racism where it exists and to advance equity where we aren't doing enough. Every agency will place equity at the core of their public engagement. But for too many American families, systemic racism and inequality in our economy, laws and institutions still put the American dream far out of reach. Americans of color are being infected by and dying from COVID-19 at higher rates.
And so on and on it goes. It's all about unity, right? Bringing the country together. No, they were there yesterday endorsing this so-called equitable economy, which is otherwise known as communism. Redistribute the wealth. Take it from the wealthy and give it to those who are poor or disadvantaged. That's just good communism, that's all. This is what they're putting up on display. And they're using January the 6th. And they're using their view of American history, the systemic racism. That's all that we need. I mean, look at it. It's like Joe Biden said, it's obvious to make an obvious point. I mean, it's been unfair from the beginning. And we've got to get rid of the 1776 thing. Come on. That's offensive. Let's start redistributing the wealth. And how much wealth are we talking about? Well, as she goes on to say, we're talking about trillions and trillions of dollars. Here's clip 5.
Economists have estimated that the U.S. economy has lost a staggering $16 trillion over the last 20 years because of discrimination against families of color. If we closed racial gaps in income and opportunity, these same economists have estimated we could add $5 trillion to the U.S. economy over the next 5 years and add over 6 million new jobs for all Americans. So building a more equitable economy is essential if Americans are going to compete and thrive in the 21st century.
The U.S. economy has lost $16 trillion over the past two decades because of discrimination, she says. So what does this mean? How do you calculate that? How do you figure that? $16 trillion. What's the U.S. budget each year? Isn't it like $3-4 trillion a year? The total budget. For 20 years, the economy has lost on the one hand, capitalism, it's evil, too much greed. People are just out to make a buck and they'll make it any way that they can. And yet here she is saying, but the racists now, they won't even go after those dollars if it involves promoting a race they don't like. Discrimination. Discrimination, she says, that's the cause. That's the root cause of an economy, evidently, that's just been terrible, certainly for minorities. You look at what Donald Trump was accomplishing in 4 years. This is why he had people from the black community and the Latino community turning out for him in droves, a Republican. Because there were more jobs available under his administration, quite a lot more. He was doing more for the black community. He was doing more for minorities. So here we have now this tired, old, the same approach that every Democrat leader has always used. Take from the wealthy and give it to the poor, and that'll make everything better in the inner cities. Has it worked? Over the last half century, has that worked, that strategy? $16 trillion, she says. She's just making it up. $16 trillion the economy has lost because of discrimination. Here's one more clip from the new domestic policy advisor for the fake presidency, Susan Rice. Clip 6.
What are you doing to address this issue of white nationalism? And how concerned are you about the threat of from some of these groups leading into this impeachment trial in 2 weeks?
Well, I think we have seen, and it's been plain for all Americans on their television sets just how serious a problem we face from nationalists and white supremacists who have demonstrated willingness to resort to violence in some instances. And that is why the president has ordered the intelligence community to compile a comprehensive assessment of the nature of this threat and challenge and its origins and roots, and thus provide policymakers with inputs that will be very important to address this challenge.
So you see where their focus is. The big boogeyman is white supremacy. And that's what we've got to get reports, commissions. Forget about the 1776 commission. We've got to get commissions to find out the root causes, the origins and roots of white supremacy. It's all about unity, after all. We've got to bring everyone together. We've got to heal the divisions. No, it's not about that at all. It's about stoking fires of hatred and division. My father's had so many over the years. You can go back to July of 2015. Your cities are burned with fire. He built it around that prophecy in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 7 in particular. He said in the article, "Few people realize how grave this trend is. As we've been forecasting for over 20 years, race-related violence in our cities is going to play a major role in the unraveling of our society." We saw it last summer. Now, Susan Rice and Joe Biden and Barack Obama, they tell you that everything that happened last summer was totally peaceful. The only thing that was dangerous and violent was January the 6th. That's it. That was Pearl Harbor. That was 9/11. It says, what will all this violence do to the nation? What will America's enemies do when they see this terrible division among the American population? See, here's all of this division and hatred at home. And what will our enemies abroad do when they see Ezekiel 4 and Ezekiel 5 play out on the streets of America? Many nations abroad were shocked at what was happening last summer. Listen to this discussion, and you can hear the CNN reporter, how he sets it up. This is Charles Blow, I believe he writes for the New York Times. He just came out with a book. And this is just, I guess, everyday banter now that takes up time, airtime, on CNN. This is CNN. Here's clip 14.
African Americans should move south, amass political power, and take over. This is basically the thesis in this remarkable new book out by our friend Charles Blow, a New York Times op-ed columnist. The book, The Devil You Know, A Black Power Manifesto, is out today. Charles, thanks so much for being with us. Congratulations on the new book. And I just want to cut right to the chase here, because this isn't some theoretical concept that you're musing about. This is basically a how-to guide for African Americans to amass practical power. You say, go south, become the majority in certain places, take over. What do you mean?
The only reason that black people are not a bigger force in the South of the United States right now is that white terror removed them from that space. Right? White terror suppressed them to the point that the gray migration became a thing, that you have to reframe what power looks like for black people in America.
See, that's the history. They're going to view everything through that lens. And certainly there were injustices, and there was racism and violence, that period of Reconstruction following the Civil War. Abraham Lincoln's emancipation didn't fix everything all at once, not by a long shot. But here we are living in the most blessed and prosperous nation in the history of the world. All of these freedoms, all of this prosperity. And you look at that's just a discussion on CNN. How to take over? And then the commentator's saying, such a remarkable book. It's a how-to guide. It's a how-to guide showing minorities how that they can take over. Is it really about unity? Is it about healing the divide, bringing the nation together? says here in the article my father wrote, many powerful politicians and people in the media believe that there is justification for the violence tearing up our cities. Many say they understand why lawlessness is overtaking these areas. See, all of that last summer, it was justified. They lie. On the one hand, they lie and they say it's mostly peaceful. But what little they do acknowledge that was violent, they say it's justified. I mean, you've got to do it to make a statement. And then they talk about January 6th like it was 9/11. Says, many say they understand why lawlessness is overtaking these areas. Some even think there's something noble about it. They see it as a kind of righteous search for long-denied justice. My father says, this is terribly misguided and perverse reasoning, and it's multiplying our problems many times over. Spot on. That's at the Trumpet, July 2015. You want to get to root causes, whether white, black, or brown, or whatever, and it's our sins. It's our sins, as the Bible clearly brings out. I read to you Isaiah 1 and verse 7, or I paraphrased it. Notice what it says at the end of that chapter, Isaiah 1 verse 18. It says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Eternal. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Come along now, let's reason together, and I'll help to clean you up, to get you on the right path. Verse 19 says, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Eternal has spoken it. That's from Isaiah 1, verses 19 and 20. When we come back, we'll shift gears a little bit and talk again about some of the very revealing first actions of the fake Biden presidency. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, you can send comments to td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Freedom is one of the most sought-after ideals in human history. Man's search for freedom has taken him into the fiercest of protests, struggles, revolutions, civil wars, and even world wars. Today, in the midst of free societies, many continue to fight for what they perceive as ever greater freedoms. And yet, many of these same people are actively fighting against law. Few people understand that this war against law actually undermines true freedom. To learn more, request Gerald Fleury's booklet, No Freedom Without Law. In this free booklet, you will see what the Bible says about the latter-day spirit of rebellion and lawlessness that is now so common in our nations today. Also request America Under Attack. In this booklet, you will learn more about the spirit behind this attack on law. You'll see where this is leading. Both booklets are offered freely at no cost or obligation to you. Request No Freedom Without Law and America Under Attack. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
You can't sweep some of these egregious things under the rug, plain and simple. His act on the 6th was the most despicable thing any president has ever done. And he is the worst president ever. And you cannot just, let's move on. You got to look back.
You got to look back. You got to go after him, even if he's out of office. You've got to ensure that he never, ever has a chance to come back into office. What he did on he did it. He's to blame. He's the reason that Capitol Hill police officer shot that woman in the neck. He is the reason. Never mind the Antifa infiltration. None of that matters. They have to go after Donald Trump and his supporters and insist that they acknowledge that everything about November 3rd was free and fair. It was a perfect election. That's really what they want out of this sham impeachment proceeding. Senator Rand Paul, I played some clips from him earlier this week. He was the one leading this constitutional point of order yesterday in the Senate. And there were headlines about five Republicans voting with the Democrats, so it was 55-45. But basically, the meaning there in that vote, the 45 that voted together with Rand Paul, said that the impeachment sham, it was unconstitutional. As I read to you yesterday, this is why Chief Justice Roberts has recused himself. You're supposed to set up this trial for a president, a sitting president. You mean now you can go after former presidents? Well, there's quite a lot of conservative commentators having fun with that. Oh, we can now impeach Obama? Can we go back and impeach Clinton? They've got to go after this one, though, the radical left. Here is Senator Rand Paul yesterday talking about the double standard and just the gross hypocrisy on the part of these radical Democrats. Clip 7.
But what of Democrat words? What of Democrat incitement to violence? No Democrat will honestly ask whether Bernie Sanders incited the shooter that nearly killed Steve Scalise and volunteer coach. The shooter nearly pulled off a massacre. I was there because he fervently believed the false and inflammatory rhetoric spewed by Bernie and other Democrats, such as the Republican health care plan for the uninsured is that you die. As this avowed Bernie supporter shot Steve Scalise, nearly killing him, and shot one of our coaches and two or three of our staff, he screamed, "This is for health care." No Democrat will ask whether Maxine Waters incited violence when she literally told her supporters, and I quote, that if you see a member of the Trump administration at a restaurant, at a department store, at a gas station, or any place, you create a crowd and you push back on them. Is that not incitement?
That's Rand Paul yesterday on the Senate floor exposing the radical left for what it is. The incitement, and he had other examples. I just couldn't play them all. Maxine Waters, Bernie Sanders. They're keying on, Donald Trump says, look, we've got to fight for our government. And that was what incited the mob, says Chuck Schumer and the others. And Rand Paul's saying, are we really going to go back through everyone's speeches in this body and see where you use the word fight figuratively and say now that you're guilty of incitement? Inciting an insurrection? You know what's interesting about Rand Paul? He was actually at that softball field when that crazed lunatic shot at them. Rand Paul was in his backyard when a crazed lunatic jumped the fence and tackled him. He got three ribs broken, I believe, and was in the hospital because of it. So this is a senator who's actually been shot at, who's actually been tackled by political enemies, attacked by political enemies. He and his wife, when they came out of that White House event just a few months ago, we played the footage of the mob surrounding them. They actually feared for their lives. I wonder if Maxine Waters and Bernie Sanders have ever been shot at by their political enemies. You had AOC after January 6th talking about how frightened she was because of the four-hour insurrection. Look, there was violence. There was violence that went down. There was one individual that was killed. We don't know anything about the other three, by the way. And that, too, says something about the media cover-up. Why don't we know more about the other three that were supposed to have died in the January 6th protest? What about them? What was the cause of the death? We just know of the one that was shot by the policewoman, or the policeman, a woman that was shot by the policeman. Here's Rand Paul, as I say. When he talks about politically motivated violence, he actually speaks from experience. He hasn't just witnessed it. He's been on the receiving end of the violence. Here he is yesterday again, clip 8.
My wife and I were pushed and surrounded and screamed at by this same type of mob that Maxine likes to inspire. It's terrifying to have a swarm of people threatening to kill you, cursing at you, and literally holding you hostage until police come to your rescue. That night we were assaulted by the crowd. I wasn't sure if we'd survive even with the police protection. But no Democrat has ever considered impeaching Maxine for her violent rhetoric.
Yeah, and why not? You get a crowd there. If you find one of your enemies, a Republican, a dirty Republican, you get a crowd. You surround them at the restaurant. You kick them out. That's Maxine Waters. Never been impeached. Not once that I know of has even anyone suggested it. And that's just routine coming from the left. That's routine, as Rand Paul said yesterday. He said, finally, clip 9.
I want the Democrats to raise their hands if they have ever given a speech that says, take back, fight for your country. Who hasn't used the words fight figuratively? And are we going to put every politician in jail? Are we going to impeach every politician who has used the words fight figuratively in a speech? Shame. Shame on these angry, unhinged partisans who are putting forth this sham impeachment.
Shame on these partisans, he says. He went on to say that these people are just deranged. They're deranged. You know, Richard Palmer made a point this morning in his news gathering about the end of the Roman Republic and how that persecuting your political opponents was so common, right there at the end, the fall, the collapse of Rome, using the judicial system to target your political enemies. It was so common that really the only way to avoid it was to stay in office at all cost. My father, he made that point, remember, in Saving America, how that we're getting a hard look at what they're willing to do to stay in power. See, they were about to be exposed, and shame on Bill Barr and Durham and the others for not working a little more quickly to expose it and to actually punish the wrongdoers. But they did anything that they could to get back in power, even if it meant rigging the system in the United States of America. Now they're going. Now the tables have turned, they think, and so they're going after Trump and his supporters. They're demanding confessions. You admit that we won fair and square. You stop telling people it was stolen. And this goes on even as they try to force through this first resolution. This is House Resolution 1. For the People Act of 2021, they want this now to become law of the land so that they can rig every election from here on out. Nancy Pelosi, by the way, she's submitted this kind of legislation before, and it's never gotten through. You know, the ballot harvesting and all the things that they did to steal the election in November. Let me just set it up by, I'll get into this bill here in just a second. But first, again, from Saving America from the Radical Left, my father said in 2018, God has blessed America like no other nation, and the devil wants to destroy America like no other nation. It says Satan is marshaling every tool and weapon that he can to wreck this nation, and he's having alarming success. This evil spiritual power is influencing the radical left. Most Republicans don't realize what they're dealing with. People who are absolutely committed to destroying the government of the land. They want to destroy the government of this land. They want to destroy our founding documents. They want to do away with the Constitution. Which, by the way, the Constitution says each state shall appoint in such manner as the legislature thereof may direct, that would be the state legislatures, a number of electors equal to the whole number of senators and representatives to which the state may be entitled in the Congress. So it's the state. It's a state-by-state responsibility. But here comes Nancy Pelosi and the U.S. Congress, the federal government, in other words, saying, look, the massive mail-in ballots, the absentee ballots, the early voting, no identification, all those things that we had going on in November, well, we want to make that nationwide now. Here's some of the, this is actually from a piece at Law Enforcement Today. It says here at the outset, the act, this H.R. 1, the For the People Act, that's what they call it, it says the act would be better named H.R. 1 for making sure Republicans never win another national election act of 2021. It says here, this bill, if passed, will fundamentally change how America conducts elections. Actually, what it will do, in part, is codify the apparent massive irregularities that occurred in the 2020 election. So it quotes that segment from the Constitution, saying it's up to the state legislatures. But then here are some of the items. This is from the bill. Internet-only registration with electronic signature submission. We just want to make it easy. We want everybody to be able to vote. We want them to be able to do it through the internet because that's so secure. If anything else would be suppression of the vote. That's the way they reason. Another one, nationwide motor voter registration. 16-year-olds required to be registered to vote, just making it mandatory. Get all the young people in so that they're ready as soon as they hit 18. We've got to get their vote. Nationwide same-day registration. You know, anything and everything to make it quick and easy. And, of course, less secure. Another one, prohibiting attempts to clean voter rolls of non-residents. We also don't want to, you know, get into the records and clean things up. Just let it be the big mess that it was in November of 2020. Because then we can go in there and, again, we can find votes. We can find the votes. This bill would permit convicted felons the right to vote. Mandatory early voting. And then here's the big one, the whopper. It says nationwide vote by mail, ban on ballot protection measures, legalized limitless ballot harvesting. See, just mass ballot harvesting on a mass scale. That's got to be enshrined in legislation coming from Washington, D.C., because it worked so well for us in 2020. It was what gave us that perfect election. You know, the one where Joe Biden only dominated in just a few counties, about five or six. Everything else was just wildly in favor of Donald Trump. But boy, in Philadelphia and in Detroit and in Milwaukee and in Atlanta, it was incredible. It was a blue wave for Biden. Nowhere else, no other big city even. But in those key cities and those key swing states, I mean, you talk about a miraculous blue wave. They did it by cheating. That's how they did it. That's how they won, quote unquote. That's why they have their illegitimate president, their fake president, And then another one, another item on this, banning voter ID. No identification, mass mail-in ballots, absentee ballots, all of that. This is a week into the fake Biden presidency. How revealing. How it reveals their true intentions. As I say, the mask has come off. Listen to Tucker Carlson. This is from a couple nights ago as he talks about this H.R. 1 bill, clip 15.
H.R. 1 would literally enshrine fraud. Here's a direct quote from that legislation. Quote, a state may not require an individual to provide any form of identification as a condition of obtaining an absentee ballot. Any form of identification, no identification whatsoever. Nor can signatures be validated. Here's another direct quote from H.R. 1. Quote, a state may not require notarization or witness signature or other formal authentication, other than a voter's word for it, as a condition of obtaining or casting an absentee ballot. Under H.R. 1, paid political operatives could freely go house to house, apartment to apartment, collecting unknown thousands of ballots, then dump them all at a ballot drop box. And no one would have any idea if those ballots had been tampered with at any point along the way, nor would there be any way to prove it if they had been tampered with.
And then he goes on to say how that no other nation, no other Western nation in the world would do something this insane because they know it would lead to rampant voter fraud, just like what we had on November 3rd. They used COVID-19 as the pretext. You know the story. We've covered it plenty of times on this program. But what did my father say in Saving America? That we're getting a hard look at just what the radical left is willing to do in order to seize power and stay in power. Tulsi Gabbard, she's a congresswoman from, I think, from Hawaii. She ran for president. She was one of the Democrats on the stage going against Bernie Sanders, Joe Biden, all of them. Eric Swalwell was in there for a time. But listen to what she says. She condemns the violence from January the 6th. But listen to her in this next clip and what really terrifies her. And she's a Democrat. She's a Democrat. Here's clip 11.
But let's be clear. The John Brennans, Adam Schiffs, and the oligarchs in big tech who are trying to undermine our constitutionally protected rights and turn our country into a police state with KGB-style surveillance are also domestic enemies and much more powerful and therefore dangerous than the mob that stormed the Capitol.
Wow, I mean, that's an astounding statement coming from a Democrat. And she singles out even a couple in particular, John Brennan and Adam Schiff. You want to talk about a police state? You want to talk about a danger that's far more powerful, far more dangerous than the mob that stormed the Capitol? Well, then let's look at the media. Let's look at big tech. Let's look at the actions that this fake Biden presidency is taking. Let's consider the actions of Susan Rice and what John Brennan is out there talking about with his CNN gig. That's a woman that spoke the truth earlier this week. I guess it was yesterday. She told the truth about her party and what they're willing to do to seize power, to stay in power, to abuse their power. As my father said in 2018, they have no respect for the rule of law because they believe in their heart of hearts that they're above the law. They are above the law. They can do whatever they want. You point out the hypocrisy, the double standard, doesn't faze them. Tucker brought this out in his piece. Or in his program recently. They just carry on. It's all about amassing power. Again, that article is from May of 2018. Saving America from the Radical Left Temporarily. Well, that's all that we have time for on today's broadcast. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, you can send comments to td@kpcg.fm. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.